Hey, it's Jane Boyd, and I am in a really interesting Google Plus Hangout on air right now. Actually, I am with some colleagues who are in the East Kootenay region of British Columbia, and they're talking with me in this 45 Conversations Hangout on air about childcare issues. And we ran into a bit of a dilemma this morning in terms of getting these two ladies into the Google Plus Hangout. So we're doing something a little different, and we're going to see how it works. But I've got them on my phone, and we're going to try and have them part of this Hangout over the phone. So let's start with good morning. How are you?
Morning. We're very good, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm very pleased to have you here. So let's start with each of you. Can you each introduce yourselves?
I'm Tracy Fellhauer. I'm a certified dental assistant that works for Interior Health. So fortunate for us in our job, we get to go around to a lot of different childcare facilities and talk teeth, actually, is what we do. And
I'm Nancy Savory. I'm the dental hygienist for the East Kootenay region, and our mandate with our program for dental is children 0 to 6, so we are very actively involved with that young age group, and mostly working with the parents around their care for the children.
Right. And so you, I'm really happy to have you both here chatting this morning with me. And I have to admit, this is a first because normally when I'm doing a Google Plus Hangout, I have you guys to look at. And so I'm debating between looking at the phone or looking at my webcam right now, which is so funny. It's a unique situation. But we're going to get through it in a good way because the discussion is a really important discussion in terms of the things that are going on with childcare in the East Kootenay region, right? There's challenges that families are facing in terms of finding childcare for their children.
Yeah, I agree. We have seen many situations. A lot of the situations that we come into, there's program, like running programs. So it's parents bringing the children into different programs. And it's really interesting to see the dynamic because now we have we have different nannies coming in. We have lots of dads starting to do these programs, so you know we see a really big variety of who's bringing children to different programs depending on their situation.
Right, and it's a tricky situation for families, especially when if there's an issue with access to quality, affordable childcare. And as I'm understanding in the conversations that I'm having with folks in the region, this can be a tricky situation sometimes to find and gain access to quality childcare. So, I mean, what do you know about that in terms of issues that families might be experiencing?
Well, I can share with you, and it has nothing to do with the dental program, but personally, my daughter was accessing child care from a woman that was trying to make a little extra money herself,
mm-hmm.
and in which case it was what my daughter felt she could afford, which she was only paying this woman $20 a day, and the woman had 3 or 4 children of her own, in which case it was not an ideal
right.
Really appropriate, and it did end up with tragedy for my daughter.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So it's a sign of the need for good quality care because
right.
moms are desperate.
Yes.
They want full care, and there are people out there saying, "Hey, I'll do it for a few bucks," because they're doing it under the table. And there's no background check, there's nothing to ensure that the care is done the way it should be, and then these things happen.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry to hear of your story. I know that I've, you know, in many different areas, but in the region that we're talking about in particular with child care needs, I have certainly become aware of a lot of stories of families having to make difficult choices, and you know, perhaps similar to what your daughter had to do, because they just haven't been able to find the kind of care that they might need, or that, you know, works for their particular work schedule, or even from an affordability perspective, they haven't been able to access care that is affordable to them. So it's a very, very difficult situation for parents. And, you know, we all have a lot of different needs in our lives, right, in terms of the kind of care that we might need to meet our personal or work or educational obligations as parents. So it can be challenging.
Well, especially when there's a lot of these young parents have work schedules that aren't the 9-to-5 schedules.
Right.
Like, a lot of daycares only operate day.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these young families have crazy hours that aren't always easy to access, people that are willing to take care of them.
Yes, it's very true. So so now tell me a little bit about in the role that you both have. We started earlier by saying, so you go, do you go into the child care programs in the communities and visit children there?
Yeah, a lot of times we will, we go right into different programs, whether it's Better Babies or different places. We've also been into, or I know I personally have been into many just homes of a daycare that, you know, the provider has invited us in and said, oh, I have some concerns with kids in my program, and, you know, could you come and take a look? And as long as we have parents' permission and the parents are very aware.
Right.
And yeah, and I know I go to a lot of the preschools.
Right.
Which, for some parents, most of the preschools are only, you know, 2 or 3 hours long.
Right.
But, yeah, so we see quite a variety of families, different families in different circumstances.
Yes, and let's talk about that a little bit in terms of the different circumstances, because those circumstances, you know, they lead to challenges sometimes in terms of, well, as we already talked about, affordability. But even I think in the region that you are in, of course, weather is an interesting factor, right? Because transporting children to child care programs in some of the more rural areas, you know, all of those things, they must be a factor. I mean, I've certainly been in your region in the winter months, and I think about what it's like for families getting their kids out the door to school, or, you know, getting out to work or to child care. That's another thing I think that needs to be factored in terms of some of the uniqueness of what is part of your region.
Well, something that was really interesting that happened in our region is out at St. Mary's Band, so it was on the First Nations Reserve, they actually started a program because they were trying to, I guess, attract different clientele, just all kind of, you know, just to make it a variety. They actually had a little bus.
Okay.
That would go around and pick up kids.
Okay.
Quite young. I know my cousin at the time, her little guy was 3, and, you know, for her child care for the day, because she was a housekeeper, she was cleaning houses, and couldn't take him to all the houses that she was cleaning at the time. And so it kind of came up, and it was kind of an experimental thing, but she ended up sending him out to the St. Mary's child care because they could pick him up.
Right, right.
You know,
so transportation can be a big factor, right? So, I mean, there's an example of a program that was doing something, you know, to try and address that transportation need, right?
Yeah, they were trying to be really innovative.
Mm-hmm.
And it did seem to, like, the daycare was very well used, I think, at the time. Like, when I went out to visit the daycare, I didn't know my cousin had done that, and I was so kind of shocked to see him out there. I was like, oh, well, this is really great, and I'm thinking it was a good
right.
experience.
Right,
right. It would be interesting to see her feedback on how she felt her experience was.
Absolutely. Well, we're certainly hoping as part of these conversations to talk with some parents as well and, you know, getting a wide variety of thoughts. Of course, these conversations are just part of what's leading up to what will be a survey that will happen throughout the region in the fall months, and that will give lots of opportunity for us to gather data and information about the childcare landscape in a lot of different ways, and of course through that survey. But having conversations with people, it's just so interesting to hear the stories, right? Because at the end of the day, meeting childcare needs is a very personal situation, even though, you know, we I think all of us on that are part of this project, I mean, the goal is to improve the childcare situation once we find out the needs that are in the region, right? It's very clear that there's some challenges. And so it's exciting to have the conversations and hear the stories and to capture those to be able to share, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So any closing thoughts from either of you in terms of the project or, you know, any other thoughts about childcare needs in the East Kootenay region?
Well, I think for myself, I'm excited that this project has been initiated and that, you know, that there's people out there that are caring and that are looking into it and finding better means or options for families out there, because like I said, each family has a really unique situation, and to have a bit of variety to choose from or to feel comfortable with, because it's a hard thing to drop your child off at daycare and be able to be productive at work when you're worried about where your children are.
That's so true. It's so true, right? I mean, it's very distracting if you know, not only if you're worried, but if you are feeling a degree of concern for your child's safety, right? And I have spoken with people in a lot of different places, and in your region included, where unfortunately, if they've had to make a choice that they didn't feel comfortable with, that was one thing. But if they actually had something else going on that made them feel that perhaps their child was slightly unsafe, for whatever reason that could be, you know, maybe there were too many children, or, you know, maybe the play area wasn't fenced appropriately, or, you know, whatever it is, that's very, very stressful for a parent, you know, to be worrying about that. And so how can you then focus on your work?
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, we see a lot of moms that are very stressed. I mean, they're trying to get their kids out the door and their kids are crying. And mm-hmm. I mean, the ones that it's really fun to see parents that have found are really good, that they're really comfortable with and happy dropping their kids off, and the kids are excited to go to daycare.
Right.
And, you know, you always feel better. I mean, there's always that separation anxiety that happens. But when you're in a really good daycare setting or situation where your child is comfortable, you're comfortable, definitely you will be a better worker. You'll produce better at work. Your child will be happy. Life is just generally a lot better when the kids are happy.
Well, and that's the reason that, you know, quality, affordable childcare is essential in all communities, right? I mean, it's what's necessary to help a community grow, you know, economically, from a social, you know, perspective, and then, you know, we could just talk about a million benefits for children, right? There's you know, the scientific evidence as far as children having access to high quality early learning environments. I mean, there's tons and tons of studies that we can quote about it, right? So it's an imperative thing in all communities. And certainly, I mean, nationally, there's a lot of press happening right now. And even within British Columbia, there's a lot of press happening as far as, you know, the need for quality childcare. And so this work in this region gives us a great opportunity to, you know, add to that voice, I guess, in terms of why it's so important for childcare to be accessible and affordable, and, you know, that young children and families can have access to really good quality early learning experiences.
Absolutely.
I wonder, Jane, I wonder what the percentage of, I mean, obviously when they're licensed daycare, they're monitored and checked and have their standards there. But so much daycare is done outside of a licensed care.
Right.
You know, it could be a family member, it could be a next door neighbor or whatever. I wonder what the percentages of kids that do go to care that's under that level that you have to be licensed.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, and you know, it's one that's hard to get an accurate measure of for a lot of different reasons, because often, you know, this kind of care goes unreported. You know, the resources in terms of being able to investigate care that is, you know, not care that is licensed, not required care, but care that is technically illegal care, you know, that is operating in someone's home without a license and that has many children in it. You know, this happens in all communities, and your region is certainly not one to be excluded from that. I mean, but it's very, very challenging. I have met families who, you know, have told me stories about utilizing care that is, you know, it's not licensed required, you know, licensed not required care. It is technically illegal child care, but there, and parents know this. Sometimes they don't, but most often they do. And there is a hesitancy to report it because they would lose their child care, right?
Yes,
so it's not that they don't want quality care for their children. It's that they're trying to meet a circumstance for their family and the care needs of their child in order to, you know, be productive in employment or in school or whatever it is that they are in need of the child care arrangement for.
So why would it be considered illegal if a person is looking after one child?
Oh, no. Well, no, that isn't considered illegal. I'm referring to people who are looking after, you know, who are perhaps operating as a family child care in their home, but they don't actually have a license, right? The number of children, you know, the someone who's looking after, you know, one child or totally different circumstance. So what I'm saying is that in all communities, including within your region, there's a whole range of different things that are going on. And with the needs assessment that we're doing and the conversations, we're going to learn a lot more about all of those things.
Right. Yeah, because I know there's lots of hoops for someone that's wanting to open up a licensed daycare, and they get to the point where it's like, forget it. They'll take
right.
the best child and not have all the rules.
That's, yes, and those are some interesting strategies that can be looked at, right? Once we get all of the information about that, you know, and we understand more about the needs in the community, then perhaps some of the strategies can be to find ways to break down some of those barriers and help, you know, individuals who might be interested in obtaining, you know, their family child care license or what, you know, whatever it is. But we're not going to know what those solutions are until we get to a place of understanding more about the needs, which is what this phase of the project is all about.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. I mean, this has been such an interesting way to have you in a Google Plus Hangout on air. I mean, it's very, very cute in that I've managed to balance my phone between myself and the webcam the whole time. You guys will have a laugh when you see the video eventually, but it's all good. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to thank you both, and I'm going to stop the Google Plus Hangout on air, and we'll stop broadcasting that, and then I'm going to say goodbye to you both. So anyway, thank you so much for those of you who are on video and who are watching and who have tuned into this story. There'll be a lot more information that will be available through various blog posts and things like that, and I'll put some links to them in the show notes after this. Okay, thanks.
Okay.